It's amazing how God brings these things to pass that He set up. God set these things up. Even Micah the prophet prophesied of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, Judah. And then it comes to pass. And God, this is the book, this is the book of God, inspired word. I count it as inspired word because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I know in that time when he wrote that, he's speaking in the Old Testament, but the New Testament is as much as the Old. Brother Robert was teaching on the Spirit this morning, really the Spirit witness. But they didn't have a Bible. They just had the Holy Ghost in them. And they were eyewitnesses, too, of some things. And then, too, they experienced a new birth. So they had God in them. Greater is He that is in you, he said. He read the verse, greater is He that is in you. He, the Spirit of God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome them. Well, them's the false prophets and false spirits of the world. If you've overcome them, you're of God, little children. Overcome them. All right. Them. For greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The field is the world. And that's where this, the preached word of God brings men from the world into the kingdom. Sure. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God's in you. I don't understand everything about it, but I know one thing. He's the king of the kingdom. Right. And the king lives in me. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so where I'm at, the king's with me. Amen. That's right. Thank God for it. It's amazing what a little old baby can do in a home. And, you know, when a baby's born, it changes everything in the home. It really does. I remember when our Matt was born, it changed a lot of things. Changed our sleeping pattern for one thing. Amen. It changed our schedule. It changed how we looked at things. We had a child now. This baby I'm reading to you this morning, he was, he's not now. Jesus isn't in the manger now. He ain't on the cross nor in the tomb. He's at the right hand of the Father. Amen. I don't worship nothing else but him. I don't think he's no different on what day it is in any day. He's the same every day. And I'm glad I'm not religious. Religious people, they attend on certain days. Jesus, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath Saturday. It's the seventh day. Jesus' disciples picked corn on the Sabbath. And they said, don't you know they're picking corn on the Sabbath day? That's against the law. And Jesus said, have you never read that when they were hungered, they went into the tabernacle and got the showbread or the, you know what I'm saying? He said they went and ate. It wasn't lawful for them to do it. That's what he said. He said, I just want to let y'all know I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And Sabbath means that they Sabbath. God didn't need rest. God rested in what he did, but God didn't need rest. But listen, Jesus is your Sabbath. That means he's your rest. He's the only rest you got. You can have all kind of rules, but it don't change him and it don't make you no better.
That's right.
And it never will. There's nothing you can do to make you better.
Right.
Nothing. Are we better? No, in no wise. The only way you're better is he makes you better.
Right.
That's right. And that's his work. That's not my work.
Right.
I'm glad for that. And I tell you this morning, there's a lot of people this morning that took this Bible and made their own religion from it. And it's dangerous. I mean, I was in some Pharisee stuff before I had the light shined on me on the truth of God. And what I mean by that is I thought that what I did and what I done, it pleased God. I heard a man say this week. Brother Shook listened to it too. This man said every Pharisee prayed to a Pharisee God. That's right. That's how they looked at God. Amen. They didn't see him as who he really was. It's a shame that how people think of God, that's how they look to him. That's right. Well, brethren, listen. Thank God God came into the world, took a robe of flesh. And the book says here in the word of God, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. They had to go back and register and be taxed. And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius, with governor of Syria. The world at that time, in their writing, in their belief, was the Roman Empire. That was looked at as the world in that day. And when they said the world, they was referring to that a lot of times. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And so Bethlehem means the house of bread. And because he was of the house and lineage of David, and we also know that, thank God, as far as where they traveled, it looked like it's about 6 miles time to go. And Joseph, and Mary both was from, thank God, the lineage of David. And the Bible said to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so she's expecting, amen, and near deliverance. And he said this in verse 6, amen. And so it was that while they were there, I like that, while they were there. That's where we're at now, while we're here, or while they were there. God wants to do something now. He's the God of the now. He is a God of yesterday, but I can't live in yesterday. I can learn from yesterday, but I must live in the now. A lot of people live in the past. That's all their mindset is. I told you this the other day, and I'll tell you this again. I've changed. Since I've been saved, I was changed when I got saved, and I'm changing now. God don't change, but I change. You change. I don't change. Listen. If I believe it then, I believe it now. That's right. If I believe this is the inspired word, and I do, I believe it's then, I believe it now. But there's things that God changes in me. He enlightens me. He grows us. It's good sometimes. Listen. Let's go back and reread the scripture and listen. Tell God, ask God, that you want him to teach you this Bible, and let the Holy Ghost teach you, because that's the only way you learn, is he teaches it. He's the only one that can teach it. And as they were there, where we're at this morning, where you was at this morning, we were there, that's right. And listen, thank God, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and so it was time for her, Mary, to have this child. And verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Them swaddling clothes were just basically rags. Strips of rags. She took the baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And the Bible said, listen, and laid him in a manger or a crib. Or may I say an animal's crib, where they fed. It was a place where they put fodder. Them animals came to eat. That's where he went. Listen, the birth in you this morning, if you're born again, you had to get in a lowly place. It wasn't that good end. And listen, it wouldn't have been that good for us in them days. But apparently it was good for them in them days, because that's where they went by. Because there was no room in the inn. And no doubt all these people had come back to Bethlehem, got to register or to be taxed. And it was full. It was full. The reason there's no room for Jesus, because somebody else is in the room. That's right. You'll have to have, if he ever comes into your room, it'll have to be emptied by you. You see, that's what he done. He emptied himself. He made himself a no reputation. When he came in the world, he became poor that we might be made rich. He was still God, but he became man. That's a humbling thing. coming, that the Son of God would become man, amen, take on a robe of flesh and be looked at as a man. That's why they said, well, you're a man. How can you forgive sin? That's what they said when they lowered that man down. And the first thing he said was to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. And that crowd sitting around, isn't it amazing? You read all these texts and you read about that day that man's brought down. And listen, ain't God, the Bible said this in Luke 5, if the power of the Lord was present that day to heal them. Talking about the doctors of the law that were there and all them was in that house that was hearing the preaching of the word. Amen. Listen, ain't God here? Jesus, amen, said, son, thy sins be. He said, who can forgive sin but God alone? Amen. But he said, I have you to know I've got the power to forgive sin on earth. I've been given that power. I am the power. Amen. They didn't recognize him for who he was, even though he had a body, amen, a man body. He was a man. Ain't God, listen. Ain't God, he was God too. He didn't see that. Brother Shook, I was reading and thinking about this. In the book of Corinthians 5, he said this, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You got to be, it's got to be that way. Amen. He was more than a man. Amen. Even though he was a man, he was more than a man. Amen. He was the God man. Amen. Listen, ain't God, I like that song, The Wonder of Wonders, because he made the womb, thank God, that he was born through. Everything that was made by him and for him. Ain't God, listen, everything you see is made by him. Everything, amen, everything is made by the Lord Jesus. Everything was made by him, for him. That's wonderful. That means that everything was made by him and for him. Amen. And so we find here he was brought into the world through the womb of a virgin. That's amazing, isn't it? Here's a virgin, brother, and listen. Ain't God that's going to have a child. Can you get that? Amen. Would you believe that? You couldn't believe that naturally thinking, amen, of how some woman, this young lady, amen, a virgin, Mary, ain't God would have a son and wouldn't even have an earthly father, amen. Right. How's that happen? I mean, unto God. I mean, you think about it, really. Why did Joseph think on them things? He said, wait a minute. That's the woman I'm marrying. That's already got set up. I'm engaged. I'm going to marry her. And now the news is that she's got a child and she said she don't even know a man.
Right.
And why he thought on these things. Oh, yeah, why he thought. And during that dream, amen, that angel come to him and said, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. How'd that happen, brother? It just God put inside of Mary, thank God, the seed of Christ. Amen. That's the only way I can tell you. And listen, thank God, he it was the seed. Thank God, every child's born of seed. And Jesus is the righteous. Amen. The righteous Lord. Amen. He was born through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Nobody's ever been born like that. In fact, thank God, since Adam and his wife Eve, thank God, started having children in the beginning. Amen. When God said, replenish everybody that was born, brother, listen, they had an earthly father and had an earthly mother. Of course, you couldn't be here without that. Amen. But he didn't have an earthly father. Mary was chosen by God, God to be that one that God favored, to be the vessel that God would bring his son into this world through. Amen. And listen, God, here she is about to be delivered. Jesus came in this world through, amen, a virgin's womb. Amen. And when he came in this world, he became, thank God, amen, listen, amen, he became flesh. That don't mean, listen, it don't mean that he had sinful flesh, but he had flesh. He had flesh. He had it, brother. He knew the temptations when he went through life. Everything that you go through in life, he's went through. That's why he can help you. I can't help you on a lot of things. I might help you on some things, but I can't help you. But Jesus, amen, came in this world, brother, and got as flesh, amen. But he was God. He was the God-man. That's what we say, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest, what? In the flesh. God seen in the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up in the glory, amen, the ascension of Christ. It talks about, and that's very important, because he ascended, thank God, to heaven, amen. And listen, amen, to justify us. When he went back, he justified us. But he sits at the right hand of the Father. Why? Ever living to make intercession on our behalf, according to the scripture. He's our great high priest. You have access to him this morning to go right into where he's at and pray to him and call upon him, because he's available. Amen. And God, no matter who it is, Brother Todd, amen, you don't have to go to nobody else. Nobody, Brother Todd. You're your own king and priest. You're your own man. Thank God that you can go to God this morning. That's amazing. Listen, everybody that's a believer has an access to God the Son. Amen. Where he's at. And he's in me. I know that. But praise God, his position is in heaven too. Amen. How can he be in me in there? By his spirit. Amen. That's why he's in me by spirit. That's why we have the power. Why can we, thank God, get this thing, amen, stirred up in us? But why don't we get stirred when the brother testified, amen, of this good thing that God did for Jeremiah? He's repeating something, thank God, has done 1,000 years ago. And he's saying, this is what Jeremiah said. Amen. Why, thank God, did that stir my heart? Because I know the same God that called him called me. I know the same God that formed him formed me. I know the same God that knew him knew me. And that's the way it is. It's just a set up deal that God did in his own good will and purpose. Amen. The God print is amazing. This morning, thank God of what God has done for us. If you just think back, amen, listen, thank God what God done for us through his Son this morning. Amen. Look at this thing. He got to the end. There was no room for him. There was no place for him. But that's not nothing unusual. Why should a sinner have place for him? That's not their natural desire. People say all kind of stuff. I scratch my head. So I used to say some of the same stuff. Why don't them people get right with the Lord? They can't. Unless God comes to where they at. That's the only way. He's going to have to come to where you at. There's no other way that you're going to ever see that this is the Christ of glory. In fact, he said this in the next verses in this text when he went to the shepherds. They were out in the fields, amen, keeping the sheep. And they went, them angels went to them shepherds. And this is some good news that he give right here. He said there's the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and said, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The glory of God will scare you, amen. If you ever get around where it's at, that's really. Listen, I'm going to tell you, and when the glory of God, amen, gets around the people of God and that power's around, amen, it'll humble you, friend, amen, and it'll get you low, amen, to see the glory of God. What Isaiah say when he saw him high and lifted up, his train filled the temple, he said, what, woe is me, amen, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, thank God, listen, brethren, this morning the glory of God showed around these shepherds. They had never seen nothing like that before, but it had to be a like a Shekinah glory light, amen, that manifested around them, and they were just old common men, amen. They was in the field. Notice what he said here. He said, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you, he said, unto you, thank God, unto you, amen. I'm glad, thank God, unto you, amen. I can't answer for nobody else, but I'm a you, amen, for
unto you, because that news got to where I was at, and I never would believe it had it not come to me the way it did. And brethren, you'll have to hear the news, thank God. I'm down your hill, awaken you, thank God, he'll illuminate you, thank God, he'll come into you, he'll tell you, thank God, when the news comes, amen, it'll make a difference in your life. I'm telling you that this morning. Thank God, that's right. Notice what he said. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He said unto you, listen, that little old baby changed the world. He changed the world.
Amen.
The King Herod wanted to kill him after he heard when the wise men come. However long that was after that, he wasn't in the manger. Then he was in the house. But they said, we've seen his star in the east. They were magi. It just kills me how people try to explain everything away what the Bible says. These people was astrologers. They studied the stars. They no doubt studied some of that, and they knew what the scripture said about his star, amen, and where he would be born. And they went and told the king, amen, God, we want to go find the star. Amen. The king had said, and it got to him, it troubled him, and he wanted that little baby killed or that child killed. And brethren, thank God, they, my friend, didn't have enough sense to know that, but when they got there, amen, God done told them to do something different, amen. When they got there, amen, we know the star led them, and they got to the house, and they went into the house, and they had gifts. Now, I'm not going to bust anybody's bubble about what they think, but I think there's more than three of them, in my opinion. It really don't really matter. But when they went in, they fell down before him and gave him gifts. They give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they was warned in a dream to go back another way. And I know there's a great message in that when you ever worship him and meet him and worship him, you'll go another way. Amen. But I'm telling you this, brother, when that little old baby come in this world, amen, it shook it, amen. Thank God, because I'm telling you, are you hearing me? Thank God, listen, he had to be born, he had to come, and he had to come like he did. And I thought about that manger he is in. It was a lowly manger, amen. It wasn't nothing fancy, amen. He hadn't really nowhere, amen, to lay his head. But brethren, listen, thank God he came, thank God, for one purpose. Amen. He came for one purpose. And all, listen, I want to give you this. I believe I'm right. And I just got this thought this morning that everything in this Bible, amen, is about Christ and his salvation. Everything's about Christ and his salvation. I mean everything. Sanctification is about his salvation. Walking in the light is about his salvation. Everything's about his salvation. When that baby was born in this world, he come, thank God, to die for a sinful man. And that was the very purpose he came. He became a sin for us. He had to die for man. The only way God would ever receive any sinner was Christ die in his stead. Was Christ pay the penalty for Joel Height, for Christ to be punished like a thief, like a criminal. The worst punishment a man can ever go through is to face the death of a cross, because every criminal, my friend, hung there. And listen, it's the worst pain in death. Brethren, listen, thank God they didn't stone him with stones. They wanted to down through the days, but they, my friend, hung him on a cross. They crucified him, friend. He came in this world as a baby, but 33 years later, thank God, in his age, amen, he hung on a cross, thank God, for sinners. That's why he came to die, friend. And listen, thank God, he done it just for you. And God would not accept you unless he had done it, because sin had to be paid for, amen. Every sin. He hung on a cross 6 hours. He did. He hung on a cross 6 hours. The last three was in complete darkness. He even looked to the Father, and the Father forsook him, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wonder why he didn't say, my Father. He faced total separation from God. He faced total separation. Listen to me. Brethren, we're highly favored of God. I mean, if you hear me this morning, he reigns on the just and the unjust. He gives good gifts to everybody. You know that's right. Especially his own. But when he became in the place of the cross, he took the position as a sinner. He had to. Even though he wasn't a sinner, he became sin. He was punished for sin. And God turned his back on him when he was on the cross. And he was in total separation from the Father. And he had to face that. He had to go through that. Amen. Listen. Thank God, if he had not went through that, we would never, ever be able, thank God, to enjoy the very comfort and the blessings and the non-forsaken, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, because he forsook his own son, because sin was laid upon him. And brother, he knows the utmost feeling of our infirmities. He knows it. He's been through it, and he knows how to help you through it, and whatever he desires, thank God, he'll do it, because that's his will. Amen. God have mercy. Amen. So when she looked in that little baby's face, she was looking in the face of her Creator. She looked in the very face of her Creator. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus who created me. If she even knew that. I don't know what all she knew, but I knew one thing. Thank God she knew the Son of God was in her. Amen. When she go to Elizabeth and say, I'm going to have the Son of the Most Highest. That's what she said. John the Baptist, thank God, started leaping in the womb. Thank God, and said, glory to God. That's the one I come for. To go, thank God, before him and tell him, that's him. Amen. Thank God, that's him. Amen. Can you imagine that? Brother, listen. Amen. The first one to ever rejoice over the news of Christ. Amen. Thank God was, amen, John the Baptist in the womb of his own mama. Amen. God bless him. Amen. That's why, brother, that's a life in that woman. Amen. Amen. These people want to murder these children. That's an abomination. As a God. God said he hated his and shed innocent blood. Amen. They're alive. Friend, I'm tired. They're alive. Yeah. At conception.
That's right.
And even the mind of God before that.
Yeah, that's right.
They taken. We got a corrupt government. I don't trust them for nothing. I ain't getting on politics this morning. But I don't trust them for nothing.
Nope.
I was reading this morning about, I think it was Josiah over there, and it said that the reason God blessed him was because he relied on God. Amen. He didn't rely on the government. Amen. He relied on God. Hey, you would be surprised in our day and time, amen, that all this going on, very few people rely on him. Very few people, my friend, know, amen, that they can trust him and walk in him and be blessed by him. But Mary, brethren, listen, thank God, as a young lady, she knew, amen, thank God that she had the Son of God in her. And when he was born, she looked to the very Creator that created him. Thank God that he was the Creator that created her, may I say. And brethren, she looked in the very eyes of God himself. It was God in the flesh, and God himself, amen, even though he was brought up just like a child, thank God he just wasn't a child. Thank God he was God, amen, even as a child, amen. Sure he was. He subjected to them. He subjected to the law. He kept the law, fulfilled the law. Everything he done perfect, because he was perfect. He could not have sinned, even though he was tested as a man. Thank God he overcame by the power of God. Amen. How do we overcome? Through the same avenue.
Amen.
Power of God. Why do we fail? Because we're failures sometimes. It's a fact. We got flesh. Our flesh is not deity. He was deity. When you saw him, listen, I can say this is true. He was 100% man and 100% God. When he died, he felt every bit of the pain, suffering, and agony of a cross that was he was punished on. He felt the shame. Amen. Listen, he felt the shame of the cross. Amen. Dogs come past him. It was terrible what he went through. Amen. Listen, without sin, he had no sin. But I don't know how this happens. Listen, I don't understand it all. But some way before the time ever consisted, he was a lamb slain before the world began. And listen, Brother Todd, he took your sin. That means every sin. He took your sin and put it on him. How did he do that? He put it on him. I mean, the Son of God says, I'm taking, listen, you get a hold of this, son, and you get, listen, he said he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every bit of iniquity was put upon him. Every bit. If a man ever got a hold of that, he could run for 100 miles. And no, thank God, that's his Redeemer. Because Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. I know I'll see him at the last day. I know in my flesh I'll see him. That's what he said. In my flesh I'll see him. Why? Because he took the sin of the whole world and was punished for it. Amen. How do you believe that, Brother Hyde? How can you believe a man called Jesus come into the world and took your sin and put it all on him? He said, a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Yes. Every bit of, everything. Amen. Brother, it's amazing. I just can't, how can I grab a hold of that by faith? Amen. It's by faith. I see it by faith. Abraham seen it by faith. Abraham believed God was counting her righteous. Abraham, God showed that to Abraham.
Yeah.
Right. There's a whole type right there in that ram being caught in that thicket when he went to that mountain. He knew, thank God. He believed. I'm going to tell you, he didn't stagger at the promise of God, but believe God, Sister Robinson, and said, thank God, I'll come. We'll come right back down this mountain. Well, let me say this. When a man gets saved, the deliverance is from sin. He said it this morning. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Every sin was put upon him. Every sin was put upon him, and he was punished for my sin. It satisfied the justice of God, Brother Aaron. It satisfied God's justice and God's command. Amen. And Jesus took the punishment for it. And every bit of that sin was paid for. Amen. I mean, he died for it. He died for our sin. That's what Paul said. He died for our sins. He just didn't die to take me out of hell. He died me to get me out of sin. That was the whole thing. What takes a man to hell? Sin does. He said the Holy Spirit convict a man of sin because they believe not on me. That was the sin, thank God, of unbelief that condemns a man, because he said he that believeth not is condemned already.
Amen.
How can that be? I mean, what's that happening at the transaction work of God in a man's heart to bring eternal salvation to him, and he knows it? What happens when that man, for some power of God, comes upon that man and lets him know by the understanding of the Spirit through the truth of God and delivers that man from in, thank God, from the penalty and guilt of sin, and takes that load off of him, and he don't have it no more, and now he's got peace with God that he never had before, amen, in this life. And brethren, it's amazing how the God of heaven, thank God, can take that load and that penalty and that guilt and that shame off of a sinner and put it up. He put it on his son, but now it's transferred. Thank God, this peace, amen, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and thank God he healed us by his own stripes. Brother, I'm telling you, that's amazing what happened at the Calvary's cross, but brother, it happened in us, amen. You ever known this? Listen, a man gets saved, it's just a picture of the cross. The law nails you and me both. We're guilty. You know what law preaching does? It kills. The letter killeth. If all I knew, if I got up here and preached against everything like I used to, and just nail it to the, I'm just nailing y'all to the tree. That's all I'm doing. I'm nailing y'all down. Sometime, praise God, you got to get the Spirit come in and give you life, or you're going to die for sure. Amen. You had to die to live. The law can only kill you. Law preaching isn't for saved people, it's for the unrighteous.
Amen.
Instructions in righteousness is to us. But they're saying this is what the Holy Spirit will do through you when you get saved and you to obey him because you love him. There's no do's and don'ts that make you better with God. Instruction is something God gives a man to teach him in the ways of righteousness that the Holy Spirit produces in a man's life. It's God that does it. It's not us. We still against God in the flesh. Your flesh is not saved. You're still against God. Can we be honest this morning? I mean, let's just be flat out honest. Too many people's not honest. Joel Hyde lusteth or warreth against God. He said, I heard that preacher say we ought to hate every sin. I said, the Holy Spirit does. Joel Hyde don't hate every sin. You don't neither in the flesh. If you did, I'm going to shake your hand and say, praise God, you're just about perfect. Bless God, we don't do this or that, but you're doing something you ought not do in your own mind. Why I wouldn't want to, some of the things that come in my mind, I thought, my goodness, what in the world's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. The deceitfulness of the heart and desperately wicked heart and the deceitfulness of the mind. And that's what happens. It's deceitful, brother Hippa. And what happens is when a man's saved, he's saved from sin. The Holy Ghost comes to live with him. He lives through that man. But at the same time, he has a warfare with the fleshly man. And the only victory's in Christ where there's no condemnation and we walk after because there's no victory in me because I do exactly what I used to do had it not been for the Holy Ghost in me that keeps me from living like that.
Amen.
It's all through the scripture. Peter cussed when he denied the Lord. He cursed. What's that? Luke 23. He cursed. 22. Acts 2. He's preaching full of the Holy Ghost. What about Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. God said, you're going. I don't care whether you get on a ship or not. You're going to Nineveh.
That's right.
Ain't nobody else going, but you listen to this here. I know people don't understand this. God allowed him to do it.
That's true.
Number two, God had that for a sign. Thank God in the New Testament. God let them go to Moab. Ruth come out. He had her husband and two sons died. She brings Ruth back out. She marries Boaz. And God, the rest is history. That's God's doings, friend. Everybody's saying, why would they do that? Because God set that thing up. You can't figure that out. Why are you trying to tell God how to do it? Jonah, you going. You going to Nineveh. And he got swallowed by the whale. In the heart of it, 3 days and three nights. Then he come to his senses, if ever anybody would. He said, salvation's of the Lord. God didn't say, if you want to get out. He said, salvation's of the Lord. And when he said that, the fish vomited him. That still make people sick when you preach that. And it is that. It's not a works. He didn't work his way out. He didn't try to open the whale's mouth. He didn't even talk to the whale and say, well, boy, I'd like to get out of you. He just finally come to the end of himself, and that's where you got to get. And said, I paid my vows, but I'm telling you, that ain't getting me out. That's salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, he got spit out. Where'd he go? Went to Nineveh. You think he's still wanting to go? He wanted to go because God pushed him that way, but that, it looks like to me he never cared about going. God used a man, Brother Todd, that didn't even want to go there. You want to try to follow this plan? I say follow the man, Christ. You say, I wonder why God's leading me over here. Just go with him.
There wasn't no room for him. You know why there's no room for him? Because they can't rule him. You can't rule him. You can't command him. He commands you. He commands me. He's the authority. And the reason, that's the whole thing in this day and time where we're at now. There's no room for him. Because they don't want him. What did they Jews say? We'll have not this man to reign over us. One day Jesus went to the disciple. They was out there at the ship. He said, come follow me. You better get the hold of that right there. It's been said so much. He said, come follow me. He didn't say, go follow height.
That's right.
Even though I preach to you, follow him. He didn't say, go follow anybody else, Brother Robert. He said, follow me. And this is what he said. I will make you fishers of men if you'll follow me. Brother Todd, he'll take you everywhere you need to go if you'll follow him. He'll take you everywhere you want to go. He'll take you anywhere he wants you to go if you'll follow him. You just follow him. Don't follow the world. Don't follow outside voices. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. Follow him. That's general. Somebody said that's a general statement. There's a lot of general statements. But they good. I told Brother Larry last night, I prayed for Brother Larry and Miss Brenda. They got the COVID. We got to talking. He said, you know that last Sunday or so over there, Brother Milby called on me. He said, preach a few minutes. He said, Brother Hunt, I got up, and I mean it just come on me. He said, it was coming to me faster than I could say it. He said, I mean it just got going. He said, I could have preached an hour, I believe. He said, but I just went about 10 minutes. He said, Brother Hunt, only advice I can give anybody, follow the Holy Ghost. Why did he come? He come to save. He come to save man. He come to live in man. He come to lead man. Under God, get the shackles off.
Yeah.
Don't be bound to nothing but him. That's where the victory's at. Has Jesus ever sat down and just said, now, Brother Todd, I got some rules I want you to go by. Don't wear blue shirts. No. He said, Brother Todd, I love you. And you know I'm going to lead you right. And I want you to enjoy life. And I want you to enjoy me. And I want you to live in me. And walk in me. And that's where the blessing is. I'm going to say you this, Brother Todd. This is what he'd tell you too. There's nobody above you. When it comes to being my child.
Amen.
Nobody.
Amen.
I know you're trying to grow that little old mullet, ain't you?
Oh, man.
Listen to me, I love you. If somebody asks you what you're trying to grow back there, say, my master told me it was all right if he told you that. Listen to me. I want to ask every one of you this. Listen. If Jesus come into church and he wasn't looking the way you thought he ought to look, how would you treat him? Ain't that right?
Yeah. That's right, bro.
I love you.
I love you too, preacher.
Huh? Everybody's got their own mindset, don't they? Huh? How would you treat him? You think Jesus come and say, you know, I really don't like it once you got on your face. No. You listen to me. Listen to me. I know people think this is dreading on
deep waters. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen, if you're spiritual, you'll take it. If you're carnal, you'll run with it. He's really not concerned about this. He's concerned about this. And when this gets right, the way it should be, the consciousness before God's right. And that Holy Spirit will reprove you and deal with your heart and teach you. Boy, that baby changed the world, didn't he? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Nobody like him. The Lord Jesus Christ. He loved people as they were. He rebuked Pharisees as they were. Blind Pharisees. Lord, help us. Let's stand this morning. I preached too long, but I appreciate you hearing me.